Church technology is constantly changing. That's the only one thing that's guaranteed, is that what we're doing in the church is going to be different in just a few years. So in this conversation, we're going to break down some of the biggest changes that we see coming over the next few years in the world of church tech. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the future of church technology that you can't ignore. Should be a good conversation. Yeah. It's always fun to kind of give our prophetic utterances when it comes to church technology and what we think is going to happen. Ian, you and I have been doing this for, like, we're basically dinosaurs at this
we
point
are.
In the church
we
technology
are.
World.
Yeah.
So, you know, we Being started in our 40s. doing church marketing and digital marketing and things. When we were babies, I was in my mid-20s, and you were in your late-20s, because you're considerably older than me, I guess.
that's right.
But anyway, it's just been a long time, and here's the thing, is I'll just say this as a disclaimer, and this is probably a bad way to start a podcast, is to say, chances are none of the stuff we're going to say are even close to what's going to be in 15 years, but we're going to give our best shot at it, because if I look back at when I started in church digital marketing in 2007, I would have never guessed any of the stuff that we're doing right now. I mean, I guess we were doing websites then, and those still remain important.
Websites,
and they're different from how they were. They were full of Flash and all kinds of stuff back then. So, I say all that to say that we don't know, but we're going to take our best crack at least in the short-term future, maybe figure like a few years from now, where we see things going when it comes to church technology. Does that seem right, Ian?
Seems right, because back then when it was just websites and MySpace, we thought MySpace was going to dominate social media for years to come,
goodness. So I can't even imagine if we did this episode in 2007 when I first met you and we were doing digital marketing together.
We didn't have any gray back then. That's right.
Yeah, we had none. Yeah, literally none. No gray. I can't imagine what we would have said. Like, man, like the Flash intros would have become much more amazing or something like that. Or the phones would have gotten even smaller, is what we would have said.
That's it.
I don't know.
As a matter of fact, they've gotten bigger.
They have, exactly.
Yeah, they have gotten bigger than the flip phones. So, Thomas, let's jump in. Like you said, I mean, it's fun to kind of try to predict. And we can kind of predict some trends just by the way things are going and the way people are... they're interacting online these days and what they're using. So, but this first one is a good one to start with, I think, is online giving. My thought is like, will this be more prevalent as time goes on? Your answer to that, I think I know it, Thomas.
Yes, I assume that it will. I mean, I think it probably will totally change. And like, I don't even know if we'll call it online giving in 15 years, but yes. More people will move away from, certainly from cash giving, more people will move away from giving via check, more people will move to online giving, more people will move from one-time online giving to recurring giving, more people will move towards giving alternative kinds of assets, and so everything is becoming more and more digital. I am like 99% on the confidence scale for something like that, barring some major... technology meltdown or something like that, where we go back to coins. I don't see that happening. So yes, we're becoming more digital for sure.
For sure. And we joked before starting this podcast that if you're not using online giving by now, then you're in real trouble. As a church, a church specifically, not just personal usage,
Our church, for some perspective, and this is about in line, I think the numbers we see are about 65-35 online versus digital. Online versus in person, so 65% online, 35% in person giving. That's about on average. That's for us, my church, which I don't think. It maybe skews a little bit older. We have a really well-off older contingent in our church. So our actual amount given is about a 50-50 split, but the number of donations are 65-35 in favor of online. Some perspective on things.
One of the pastors at my church just recently shared when talking about our tithes and offerings during that time of the service, that 90% of our all of our giving was online. So that's what they said. And of course, me being a part of a larger multi-generational church, I don't know if that has something to do. We don't pass the plate anymore. We have where it's online or it's through the app or QR code, all of that. So, but yeah, so definitely we see it increasing right there. Well, this next one's a little bit different, I guess. Presentation software, Thomas, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I guess there's a few things I would say. Like, I guess presentation software, just to clarify, we mean things like ProPresenter or whatever you're using out there for your lyric projection and things.
Words and slides.
I think we're seeing a shift here already. I think that they're becoming more and more AI driven, and they're baking in a lot of AI stuff into the background of things there. So I think not so much in like the way that lyrics are presented. Now, I do think that there's probably a season coming in the near future where lyrics will automatically change. I know for like when we're doing, we don't usually use teleprompters in our videos here at Retry. Okay. I have done it a few times, but, and we're not, just to be clear, we're not doing it on this podcast. No. I'm not reading this from a script right now.
Yeah.
But we have done a few videos where they're more technical. Like I think I did one a long time ago about the pastor's housing allowance where I was going through complex tax code stuff. And so I just couldn't commit it all to memory. So I looked at the camera and did a teleprompter.
Yeah.
Teleprompters now in general are all AI driven and listening to you and scrolling on their own. And as I think about it, I can't see a reason why we couldn't do this in the like lyric projection world or church presentation software stuff, where it could hear the music that's being played or the song that's being sung and then switch. Now, we're not close to having that be totally automated, because I can't see a scenario where, like, you know, if it isn't sung perfectly, that it wouldn't scroll to the next lyric. So you'll probably still have to have someone there as a backup to do it. But I think that that kind of technology is there. Like it's, we probably have that at our disposal right now. So there's that side of things in the actual Sunday experience. But on top of that, I think that in the projection and like kind of the church presentation software side, I think we're going to start to see more, I see a trend towards more design in this area. I think thing that's been super impactful for me is that at our church, we made this pivot from just doing like motion backgrounds and lyrics to actually doing some text design on the lyrics. So like, I don't know, just thinking of a current worship song, I'm just trying to think. Like, there's a song that we sang at our church. It was "Be Enthroned Upon the Praises of a Thousand Generations," if it maybe like had this bold and like different font on a word like enthroned, it does is it makes somebody think about that word some more. It like really makes you consider it. And it like makes it, and think of it the same way, like when you see those scripture graphics on Instagram or those places we don't necessarily recommend posting those to Instagram anymore. Their heyday is over, they were powerful because you look at it and one or two words were really bold and they stood out, and it makes you think, man, if I really put like the emphasis on that word in the sentence, it gives it a different meaning for me. And it's something that's impactful. And so that's kind of a cool thing we've seen happening in our worship song. So just some of the things I'm seeing happening, I think more churches might embrace that trend of doing some like kind of text decoration on their actual worship slides with things.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. This next one, I think, is an interesting one that's been just a hot topic since COVID specifically, but that's the live streaming of church services.
Yeah, our most controversial hot take here, I guess, at Retrite is live streaming of services. So it's funny. I was looking at some of our YouTube channel. We have lots of content on how to do a live stream well and how to make it not sound bad and those things. But a lot of our content is also built around this statement: most churches shouldn't live stream. Like, I think that's the case. Now, to the question of like, will that get better? That's a hard one for me to answer. So will the technology make us more efficient at live streaming and make a better sound quality product? Can it edit itself and make it sound good? Probably. There'll probably be some improvements there that churches can, it'll be harder to botch your live stream and make it sound bad. But to that end, what always tends to happen is that the people that are really good at live streaming, and what just happens is our standards get higher and higher. Like, so what we expect from a live stream at the same time is going to go up. So I don't know that I see this changing. To recap, kind of our position on live streaming is that most churches shouldn't do it. You'll be better off just putting the sermon portion of your service online and not live streaming the entire thing, because one, you probably can't get the music quality to be up like a good enough standard to be valuable. And then number two, when you look at retention graphs on YouTube, what tends to happen is that people click on your live stream video, and if it's after the fact, they immediately skip over the entire worship part, the entire announcement portion, try to find the beginning of the sermon, and then just watch that part. And what that's a signal to YouTube is it tells them, people don't like the first half of this video, so stop showing this video to people. And so it actually ruins and makes you reach fewer people by putting in this portion of your service into the, your live stream and kind of leaving it on there. So there are some exceptions, of course, especially with larger churches that execute it really well. You can make a case for it, but our position is that most churches shouldn't do it. It might change. I kind of doubt it, though.
Yeah. So that's it's interesting you say that. Whenever I can't make it to church physically and I tune in to our live stream, my church is an example of a church that does very good worship and their production of that, and it looks quality, but I still, you know, confession, will wait until the worship's done just to watch the message, even as well as my church does it. So
I just think for most people, it's out of their, I don't want to put it down to comfort zones, but it's just out of their norm to like stand in front of your television and like raise your hands and worship and clap along and do the, worship
COVID.
Experience.
What's tried that during COVID. I tried that during COVID and it felt weird. Just did to me personally.
And so, I'm not, I hate to just dismiss something because it feels weird, because I remember, you know, every time when people are going to church and worshiping, it feels weird to do that.
Yeah,
so I'm not ready to write it off just because of that, but I just know that like it's a different experience. Like, so, and to be really frank, like, I do worship to pre-recorded music. Like, when I'm getting ready in the morning, sometimes I'll turn on worship music and I'll Spotify, sing along when I'm in the bathroom, and it looks different. And I'm thinking about the lyrics and those things. But I've never, maybe like, I think about like maybe a Hillsong video or two where I felt like a real worshipful experience, like listening to So Will I, that song 100 billion times. I think it's such a powerful song. And I've watched that video and it's moved me. But it's never been like where my hands were raised like a church experience. So that's my take on it. Again, we've done so much content on live streaming and why we generally are seen as negative towards it. But I don't think it'll change, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, there you go. But this next one, I think you might like elaborating a little bit on. This is AI assistance for churches. So the usage of AI.
Okay. Hot topic here. So I can tell you that I'm using AI more and more in my sermon prep. But please don't hear that as a confession of me saying I use AI to write my sermons. That's not true. I use it as a kind of a research assistant is what I find myself doing most now. So here's a few things that I did. I preached just this last weekend. And in preparing that message, I used it for finding verses. So I have my AI chatbot of choice is Claude. That's what I use. I find it to give me the best responses and things. And it has kind of, I've trained it pretty well at this point. So I asked it at one point, hey, give me, I was preaching about giving and it was talking about the way Jesus calls us to not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Yeah.
And so I asked it for verses that talked about the reward, like it talks about in Matthew chapter 6, other verses that talk about the reward or blessing for giving. And rather than me trying to think of all these from memory or, you know, do a Google search, I had Claude do some of that, and I verified that it gave me correct verses that are actually, it's really what they say. And it gave me a list of 20 that I narrowed down to 3 that I used in my actual sermon. So it's a research assistant in that way. It also helped me. This is the first time I ever did this. Is the way I preach, I don't preach from a manuscript. What I typically do is I make a lot of bullet points, usually 2 to 3 pages of bullet points of just basic sentences that I want to hit. And then I would elaborate from each one of those sentences. And then typically what I do is I'll narrow those bullet points down to like a preaching cheat sheet. So it's like a one sheet, maybe each of my 3 points with maybe 5 or 6 bullets on each one, just kind of the high points I want to cover. What I did this time is I took my 3 pages of bullet points, I shoved it all into Claude, and I said, hey, organize this for me. It was already organized in points, but organize this in the same order and put it into a nice kind of outline structure. And it did, you know, A's and 1's and A, lowercase A's, and you know, all the different tiers of that. And so it basically it did my organizing. So something maybe I would ask an assistant to do, that for me, which was really cool. It also helped me with titling and descriptions for the after the sermon resources. So when we posted it online, for instance, on YouTube, rather than just using my sermon title that I use there, Jesus on giving, it was something like Jesus. How to Give Like Jesus, I think was what the name was. We worked out like what would be a better keyword optimized title for me to use on YouTube. I did that all through Claude. So those are 3 ways. There might've been other ones that I even used. I actually did one other thing too. I had it prompt me with a few questions to try and tease out some illustration ideas for me. So I actually told it, at one point I was stuck coming up with an illustration for one of my points. And so I fed in the point, like kind of the bullet points that I had under that point. And I said, ask me some questions to help me think of an illustration that might go. And it said, do you remember a time that maybe this happened? Or can you remember a story where someone like this did this? So it prompted me to help come up with some illustrations on my own. So now what I think would be wrong is if I said, illustrate this for me, you know, tell me a story that would be, I think that needs to be something that comes from your own heart. But these are just some of the use cases that I have. Yeah. Now, will that increase? Yes. I think we'll all become better at using these AI tools as assistants for us. I definitely think that like our graphics, those can almost be replaced completely by AI today. So I think making scripture graphics, making YouTube thumbnails, that kind of stuff, absolutely AI. So there's a whole other episode on this topic. I've talked a lot about it already. But yes, I see huge growth in this area, as with all things AI right now.
Yeah, no, it's good. And like you said, still somewhat, still controversial for sure. So, but I think that's a good way to put it. So, well, this next one, the usage of church management software. We obviously see more and more churches nowadays. I'd say in the last 2 years specifically, most churches that I talk to are using church management software compared to years past and prior. So how is this going to go in the future?
We'll lean on it more. There's some dangers and some positives to this here, I'd say. We're going to lean more on church management software. I think everything that we're doing in physical form right now, whatever's left of that, that will probably be gone in a few years. And this is weird for me because I still kind of wrestle with, one of the most obvious uses of church management software is connecting with new people that come to your church. And our church still hasn't figured out a way to reliably get people to do like a text in or something like that to give us their information when they're there for the first time. And we have found that when someone actually is given a card and they write their information on the card, we get a higher response rate. So I'm kind of caught in two minds on this, but I will say that like, I think that the general trend is towards all things digital and every form of church management not taking place in on a physical piece of paper anymore. There's most of that has completely happened at this point. There's a few things like visitor cards, like some churches are still doing sign up forms. Ian, if someone was going to sign up for an event at your church, is there ever a way for them to do that physically at your church? Like to write their name on something?
Not really. No, not that I can think of.
So, I mean, even for an older person,
Maybe if they went to the connection center and they insisted upon, I don't know, but maybe even
all that would happen would someone would
to do it online still. Yeah, yeah, someone would probably do it for them on a
tablet or something like that, I would think, right? Yeah. That's how that would happen there. So I think that our largest churches are probably already there. I think our smaller churches, generally speaking, the smaller the church, the more likely they are still doing stuff on paper and not doing things in church management software. With that, it's the challenge is how do we prevent people from becoming just digital numbers, right? Just people that are on there. It's already something that we kind of struggle with, I think, in churches quite a bit. So there are some challenges that come with that. It does feel more business-like sometimes and less organic, and that's hard for some people. But I do have to say that the trend is probably going towards more church management software being fully incorporated.
And it's just easier and keeps you more organized. We chuckled before the podcast on this one, just picturing the old church secretary or someone buried in paperwork and file cabinets all over the place and all of that. Well, this next one we also chuckled a little bit at because we just think, probably this is a no-brainer, even though when we say no-brainer, it should and may change, will change for sure, social media.
Yeah.
In the future.
So the first part of the question is like, will social media become more prevalent? I don't actually know the answer to that. Like, I don't necessarily, I think that there is a rising tide of frustration, and I think people see the shallowness and the lack of human connection. I think people feel that. At the same time, these social media platforms are programmed and made to be addictive and desire our attention and that. So social media in general, I don't see it going away anytime soon. Is it going to remain as valuable for churches? Probably. I think it's going to, I think one thing that we've seen over time is that social media has become like, it takes more and more effort to excel at it. So there was a time where the largest churches in our country could have one person doing their social media and have great success at it. And now the largest churches in our country have dozens of people. I think our audience needs to know that there are literally dozens of people that work at very large churches doing social media work. So even here at ReachRite, for instance, like I don't know where the line is. Like, so in a sense, we are doing social media work right now, Ian, because you know, this is going to get posted onto social media channels and it's going to get clipped up. And so between editors and posters and designers and all these people and on camera people here at ReachRite, we have like 10 people that touch social media, and we have probably like 4 people that do it, the equivalent of 4 full-time jobs of people doing social media. So the rub is for smaller churches, especially to be competitive on social media, to gain attention, it takes more and more work and more effort to do that well. So as a channel for our churches, I think it's not going anywhere. I'd be surprised by that. As to like actual guesses on which direction it's going, I won't even bother because like, you know, I there's people that are working on these kinds of things, and we would have never predicted where we are today on social media even 5 years ago. We would have never known something like that. But, you know, by and large, I don't see this short form video thing going away unless something really drastic happens. So continuing to pour into that kind of stuff. I think people are hungry for real authenticity, but I will say that the amount of work it takes to do it well is only going to continue to rise. I think that's been a general trend from MySpace back in the days when we ranked our friends in order of importance in our lives. That's all the work it took. And, you know, we put our favorite song on our page, you know, to today, you know, it's just something that, it takes more work to do it well. I was talking to my kids, like, and I was realizing just how much a young person curates their Instagram feed at this point. So they really are so careful with the kind of stuff that they put on there to make sure it paints them in the exact right light that they want to be seen in. And it's like really paralyzing them in some ways. And you compare that with old fogies like us, Ian, who you know, came from a generation where we just took a picture of whatever we were eating and put it on social media. Like, that's what we grew up in. Or
check in at the restaurant we were eating at
check
lunch.
And all it said is Thomas went to In-N-Out Burger or something like that.
Check in when I got to work. day. Who cares? So, yeah. But, exactly. Well, this last one, not least, interesting one, virtual reality. And so how is it already impacting churches? And then the funny visual is, should we allow someone to join a church service with VR, so to speak? So, yeah.
Bro, I have a hard time with this one. Like, so I just don't know. One. And I think I'm probably most likely to be wrong about this.
Sure.
So from my current position, I dislike VR. I will say just kind of my natural bent is negative towards it. Because I think we're already in a place where we're socially paralyzed in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I want to see us overcome that kind of stuff. People are becoming less and less comfortable with human interaction. I think as I look at scripture, that's kind of what I see being a necessity. Not forsaking our fellowship, I think, is important. I have heard of edge cases of people that are very online type of people, hearing the gospel for the first time, giving their lives to the Lord, and participating in virtual reality churches in places like, I don't even know if Second Life is still a thing or not, but channels like Second Life or on Meta, and these things do happen. I think that I have a hard time seeing the path to it becoming mainstream, where a large portion of the population pops on a headset and goes to church that way every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I could eat my words. I could be totally wrong. I know Mark Zuckerberg put a big bet that that's what's going to happen with all the metaverse stuff that they've really leaned into. I have seen them kind of back away, I feel like, because it was so prevalent a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as strong as it is now.
That's true.
We did a whole episode about, like, you know, is it okay? Like, the question was virtual baptisms. There's some churches that are doing that, like baptizing avatars that of people that are wearing VR headsets. Uh-huh. And, like, I mean, does it count is the question? I'd say, I don't know. I don't like it. I'll say that.
Yeah,
God might count it, but I don't like it.
Well, I'm glad my 14-year-old son just recently got physically baptized in real water at our church.
Yeah,
so
that was
there's
awesome
a good sign. That's yeah, just cool. A good sign. He does have a VR headset, but he didn't think of that. So there you go. So, but
cool stuff. So I don't know. What do you think about it, Ian? Are you ready to get baptized virtually?
No, I'm with you on that. That would be weird to me. But I did come to mind. There used to be a lot of like late 90s and early 2000 action movies that would like. When they would show, if it was based in the future, there was all this VR and everything that everyone was doing and everything. So who knows, but I'm with you on that.
I look at like the, and again, this is, we're filming this in March of 2025. So if you're watching this in the future and you're watching it on your VR headset, forgive me. but we have seen, like, it's probably been almost 2 years since Apple Vision Pros came out.
Yeah.
And it was such a huge deal when they came out, such a huge marketing campaign. I have never once seen one in the wild outside of an Apple store. I guess the only place have you ever seen someone wearing one, like, in the flesh, Ian? The Apple Vision Pro or whatever there? No?
I think I saw one guy at the mall, and even my kids laughed at them.
There you go. I think that, like, We haven't figured out what it's going to be. I think that's a more likely scenario. Like the idea that everybody is going to church with headsets on and living their life with a headset like it's in WALL-E or something, I doubt that reality. I could see a scenario where a totally different kind of virtual reality is something that we're living with. I think there's all kinds of virtual reality temptations and stuff that pastors will have to learn how to deal with. That's probably a future episode. We can talk about some of that, but that's where I see things going.
Yeah. Same.
Cool. Well, I hope this has been a helpful conversation to you as we kind of prognosticate and come up with our ideas of what's happening next. Always fun to do. If you disagree with us, I'd love to hear about it down in the comments. Let us know. And thanks for being a part of the Retried family. We'll see you next time.
See ya.